Dave Fanning on 2FM.
2FM. Anton Savage, how's the cold?
Oh, it's still there a bit, but I'm improving. I'm deaf in one ear. How are you?
Jeepers.
It's true. Wow. Very annoying.
Yeah, it sounds bad, all right, yeah. Okay, I'm very good. So off you go. What have you got for us in news that people might have missed this week?
Well, I think if we have a theme, it's narcotics this week.
Narcotics.
We'll start with Pablo Escobar.
Not cats from Florida.
And I got a cat one if you want.
Oh, do you?
Start with cats.
No, yeah. do what you like. I don't
the,
care.
The stunning news this week that the Foreign Office's chief mouser, Palmerston, I should say. He's not the area, he's the name. Palmerston the cat has returned to work after 6 months off recovering from stress. He has been on stress leave from the Foreign Office.
Stress leave, okay.
Stress leave. Palmerston is a rescue cat, and he has spent the last 6 months in the home of Sir Simon MacDonald's private secretary, where he is recovering from stress. Apparently he became so stressed that he was overweight and had groomed much of the hair from his forelegs.
Has he been diagnosed with stress?
He has been diagnosed with stress.
By somebody who knows about stress and cats?
A vet, I'm assuming.
Right, okay.
Yeah, apparently the issue that he has is twofold. Well, threefold. First, people in the Foreign Office are picking him up. Now, in my experience, if a cat doesn't want to be picked up, it'll let you know right sharpish, but apparently Palmerston doesn't, so he has been picked up more than is appropriate. Secondly, they're giving him treats, which is causing him to put on weight, and I think he has self-esteem issues because of this. And thirdly, apparently, cats get stressed if they have too big an area to look after. Yep. So Palmerston thinks that he is in charge of the entire Foreign Office, and because of this, he's very stressed.
Fat cats in the city.
Correct. So what they have done is they have shrunk his area down to the middle of one floor, and he's kept in there, so he has less territory to patrol, and therefore he'll feel better about things. And they've put notices around saying, please don't pick up Palmerston unless he requests it.
Please don't pick up Palmerston unless he's requested it. Okay.
He's not alone. There is a chief mouser in the cabinet office.
Is that what they call them? Chief
mousers,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Brits. Yeah. So yeah, it's basically a pet cat who's a bit stressed in the Foreign Office. But I think it's kind of nice that the Foreign Office has a cat. I think cats in government departments generally wouldn't be a bad thing. In drug news. Pablo Escobar's brother.
Oh yeah, interesting guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he sued Donald Trump. I can't remember what for, but in fact, you know what he did? Yeah, and he sued Elon Musk for
Pablo
something.
Pablo Escobar's brother sued Elon Musk.
Yeah, because Elon Musk came up with something, Bob, and Pablo Escobar's brother, this guy, I know him.
No.
He's a friend of mine.
Yeah. And hey, Roberto, yeah. What's cracking?
Roberto, yeah, right. And he sued Elon Musk for coming up with an invention, which he said he invented. But he said, look, it's okay. If you give me $100 million or let me be in charge of Tesla, I let
you off. That seems reasonable.
That's 100% true.
Well, he is continuing this theme of massive innovation. Roberto Escobar has launched a mobile phone, which is foldable.
Foldable.
Yeah. And he says that it is a screen made of proprietary plastic that makes it almost unbreakable. It is therefore, as he says, the most durable telephone screen in the market. And I quote, our phone has gone through rigorous testing. The only true way to break our phone is to burn it, which I would imagine an average user would not do. The Escobar phone is available for $349 if you're a soul.
And where did he get the plastic? I mean, is he an inventor as well in his spare time?
Well, given what you've told me about his previous lawsuits against Elon Musk, I'm not sure of the veracity of his claims.
Yeah.
The business was set up to manage Pablo Escobar's assets. And if you recall, Pablo Escobar's assets derived almost entirely from running much of the world's drugs trade. So I think he's, what's the word they use in business terms? Diversifying, now that the main income stream has
been
somewhat.
He did spend a lot of time in jail.
I would have thought
and
so.
And he lost an eye, you know, from
a letter bomb
or something.
And he's deaf in one ear.
Is
like
he?
Me?
Really?
Yeah, although his is permanent. Mine, I'm hoping, will return. In other drugs news, Italian pigs have snorted 17,000...
Do you know, he also sued Netflix. Because that was the thing about getting the story wrong in terms of what do you call
as
the thing.
As in, you have defamed me in the Escobar name.
What's the name of the program, which is brilliant? I forgot.
Narcos.
Yeah, Narcos. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go on. Sorry, where were you? In other news?
Pigs in Italy have snorted over 17,000 euros worth of cocaine.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Apparently drug dealers in Tuscany were...
So pigs will fly.
Drug dealers in Tuscany were hiding cocaine by burying it in the woods. And one of the things that pigs like to do is dig in the woods.
Wow.
And 17 grand's worth of cocaine has disappeared into the pigs. Unfortunately, there is no record of the effect this had on the pigs, but there are coke-addled wild boars in Tuscany. I just feel better about knowing that this happened and that the coke dealers obviously being stung in the process.
And they're sure it's the pigs.
Yeah. Pigs leave big trails. You know when a pig has been
rooting about.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. That
and
thing, yeah.
And they truffle hunt and they do all the rest of it. So
it's, it wasn't it's a clean steal.
But while we're on the topic of drugs, I have some interesting drug-related facts for you if you'd like.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what's unique about heroin among all of the Class A narcotics?
No.
It's a brand name.
It's a brand name.
It's a brand name.
Like it's registered.
It's a product. It's like a Hoover or like a Dyson or it's a brand name. It was created by the Bayer Company in the early 1900s. So it's like Tylenol. Heroin is actually just a thing that Bayer came up with. And its main use originally was to be prescribed to cure morphine addiction.
I didn't know that.
It's a hell of a solution, isn't it? You're addicted to morphine. Do you know what'll solve your
frying
problem?
Frying pan, fire.
Exactly. Yeah. But the interesting thing was because it became so popular in the early 1900s in America, you could actually buy heroin on the Sears Roebuck catalogue. So some of the main users of heroin in the 1920s and 1930s in America were middle-aged women.
Housewives.
Yeah, in the Midwest, who would open the Sears catalogue and say, I'll have me some of that.
Have me that bit of a pickup.
That's something else.
Yeah, right, with my 11s.
And you know what else then? Middle-aged housewives have had a difficult drug period in the States because once they got off the heroin, they got onto amphetamines after the Second World War. One of the main users of amphetamines in the 60s in America was women wanting to do the housework quicker.
Wow. Okay. Go on.
Josh Brolin has burned his perename.
Has burned his what?
His perename.
Yeah, that's an odd part of the body, isn't it?
It's not that odd.
Well, you know what I mean. It's kind of
great.
It's the bit between that and that.
It is. It ain't there. It's a connective.
And how connective? I love it.
It's no man's land.
Right. Okay. Right.
In your nethers.
Right.
Apparently, Josh Brolin. Now, keep in mind, Josh Brolin is both Barbara Streisand's stepson.
Do you know what's amazing thing? I saw him booking into the Shelburne Hotel once. I was waiting for somebody.
Roberto Escobar.
So kind of normal. The two of them were there booking
in. What do you expect them to be doing?
Well, yeah, I know. We would expect to have an entourage.
Yeah, that actually, is
just
true,
the two of them with some bags.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is he tall?
I can't remember that bit. Oh. Yeah.
A woman came up to me yesterday and went, "You're not as tall as I expected."
Yeah, right. Yeah, Daniel O'Donnell said that to me once backstage. And I say he did. Seriously, at the concert hall.
Expectations
Dave,
about
it's great to you're not as tall as you look on the radio. And he walked away. I don't know if it was brilliant or brilliant. Go on.
Where was I? Oh yeah, Josh Brolin took to Instagram to say that he had taken part in what apparently is a new trend, which is to suntan that part of your body which statistically receives zero sun even if you take all your clothes off because of its location.
This is a kind of a Gwyneth Paltrow kind of
it
situation.
It is exactly that. It is the follow on to steaming your hoo-ha. So he has, I don't know how he did it because I would imagine it requires a commitment to yoga and sunshine.
I just got a bad picture there.
But he has genuinely gone public and said, "I've burned this area of my body and I recommend to other people that you shouldn't do it." Imagine being dumb enough that you need a recommendation from Josh Brolin not to expose that bit of yourself to extended sun. So he said that he had intended to go and shop with his kids in the mall that afternoon, but instead of it, he was spending the afternoon covering himself in aloe vera and sitting on ice packs.
And how long was the sheriff's badge facing the sunshine?
He didn't go into much detail. He was obviously so traumatized that he put in a blanket ban to all of his followers. Don't even attempt it. For moments, keep your perename out of the sun. Public service broadcasting at its best. The Apostrophe Society has shut down.
No Country for Old Men. It was one of his big movies in the last while. Was he in Gremlins as a kid or something?
He was in Goonies.
Yeah.
Which is slightly odd because when you Google
him. He's in all those Avengers things now too. Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. Yeah.
But he was brilliant in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
When you Google him, his first return is Josh Brolin Goonies. You would think,
oh, really?
If you've been in a Coen Brothers film, if you've become a big Avenger star, still Goonies, really?
Yeah,
that's the thing that still attaches to
him. Yeah. It doesn't say Mr. Barbra Streisand or anything, no?
No, it doesn't. No, okay. That's like the fourth return. The Apostrophe Society is shut down, Dave.
Oh, wow, this is one for you and me.
It is, yeah,
I saw this. The guy's about 100 or something.
He is. He gave a twofold reason. And as we know, one reason is a reason, two reasons is an excuse. But he gave a twofold reason for why he had shut down the society. The second was, and I quote, fewer organisations and individuals are now caring about the correct use of the apostrophe in the English language. The battle has been lost. That's right. His second reason. His first reason is, one reason is that I am 96 and cutting back on my commitments.
Good man. What's his name? Does he have a name?
He does have a name. His name is John Richards.
Good man, John. Damn,
and not giving up on his commitments. 96.
Cutting back.
Ah, good man. Cutting back a little.
Will anybody take over? I mean, we need somebody. You know,
the
barbarians are at the gate.
Oh, totally. The barbarians have crossed the gate. He was a former journalist and sub-editor, and what he would do effectively was chase people around going, there's no apostrophe in that use of the its, or customers needs the apostrophe at the end rather than before the s. All of the things that we know are central to the management of a civilized democracy.
Absolutely, 100% standards, Carruthers.
Correct.
For God's sake. So I presume, what do you call it, texting and WhatsApp and all the rest of it are kind of killing it off, stone dead.
He doesn't go into a lot of detail. He just says ignorance and laziness.
Well, that's what I mean.
People are standing idly by while apostrophes are scattered hither and thither.
I wonder, should we apply for the vacant position?
You should. Like the other day, only this week, I heard a news report, you know, very formal and all the rest of it, where and I quote directly because I memorized it because it made me briefly very angry. It said the man in question had retired to look after his wife who had died in May. It's like, well, it's a bit late, isn't it? You know, who looks after your deceased wife? But that was it. He looked after his wife who had died in May. And inside of me, like John Richards, a little bit died.
Oh, right.
Anyway, so
yeah, does, every time you pass like some kind of a, you know, I don't know, a greengrocer's or something with a big sign outside saying, you know, something, melons on sale today kind of thing. The apostrophes are all wrong. Are you kind of, where's my shark?
Terrible. Oh, it's terrible. It's terrible. The one that really drives me mad while we're doing our Statler and Waldorf. Whether used not as the introduction of two options, but just as a singular. So reports don't indicate whether he will return or not. There has to be a second thing.
Oh, listen, there's so many of those ones.
I know, Dave.
I mean, those kind of ones, like you've got two choices. No, you don't. You have a choice.
Exactly.
Anyway, okay.
Osama bin Laden's niece and a Guinness heiress are in a band together.
Really?
That's Osama bin Laden, apostrophe S, just in case you're wondering.
Oh, maybe I did. Is she old? I mean, is she old for being in a band?
She is old for being in a band. She's 44. She's at the point where you should really know better.
She should have started 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
It's a punk band, which is particularly old.
Right,
Once you cross 20, really.
I don't know. With a bit of luck, punk might be back. Go on, yeah. So what's the band called?
The band is called... He's Deep Tan.
Deep Tan.
Like Josh Brolin. Hey! She's in the band with Guinness heiress Celeste Guinness and French model Melia Baudouin.
Wait a minute. There's a model, a Guinness heir, and an Osama bin Laden what?
Niece.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no. She the one that was in New York when it happened?
Correct. And we have to be, in fairness to her, she has always denounced him, and it is only a genetic connection to him.
Yeah, and I think her father was a half-brother, which... It's more of a
But there's still that's it. Otherwise,
twice
it's just
removed.
A woman is in band with person who used to be related to Benjamin Guinness.
Are they any good?
I've never heard them, but I'm willing to.
Well, I know they're no good.
Say no, they're not.
Okay.
The mystery has been solved of the owner of the boat that washed up.
Oh, I saw it in the paper this week. Yeah, yeah.
Are you impressed?
The guy, he's got a great name. Like I say, he said this is going to be my nickname.
Yeah, Rick Small.
Yeah, what is his name? Like is Richard Small, but he said it's Rick.
Hey, I just got that.
Yes. Okay, go on.
Ooh, sorry, I'm deaf in my left ear. The boat that Mr. Small built.
It washed up in Mayo, was it?
It did.
And how long ago was that?
It washed up in November of 2016.
Oh, right.
Written inside it on the ceiling was I, Rick, formerly Richard Small, donate this structure to a homeless youth to give them a better life that Newfoundland chose not to do. No rent, no mortgage, no hydro, because he obviously built it in Newfoundland.
Did he build it and then let it go and see where it ends up?
Well, it's interesting. It turns out that Rick Small is an environmentalist who built solar-powered three-wheel bicycles, which is interesting because what he then did was he built a thing out of plywood and polystyrene and seems to have just abandoned it, which isn't a very environmentally friendly thing to do. History doesn't record whether he actually found a homeless person and gave them this thing or just left it there in the hope that a homeless person...
Well, is it pretty natural the way it was built that it would survive and end up in land somewhere, or is it an amazing thing that it did?
Yeah, lots of things float across the Atlantic. Like you get ducks, containers.
Ducks!
You know, they do! Two. I remember when all the live ducks.
Do you remember all the ducks fell out of the boat?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Those ducks.
Yeah. The ones they use in the races.
Or they were called happy features or happy quack. This was
happy quack.
This was a shipping container where 20,000 ducks got released into the North Atlantic, and it has been used to track tides ever since. But like, they survived. It's not that astonishing. Yeah. So anyway, and if you want to see it, it's apparently on display in a garden somewhere near Belmullet.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Kim Jong-un has launched a Keep North Korea Great Forever initiative.
Keep North Korea Great Forever initiative. And where did he get that from, I wonder?
Exactly. And okay. The sentence, he apparently spoke in English at the end of this, which is unusual because he has tended not to. I'm slightly surprised by this because you know the other person who can speak fluent English but doesn't? You know the old joke about
Putin? No.
Yes.
Yeah, really?
Fluent English, never does. And it's very interesting when you watch him then when he's talking to somebody like an Obama or a Trump. He gets translation. So they say something and he knows exactly what they've said, and he then waits for a minute before he answers while somebody...
To make it look as though he...
So it's ample time to figure out how exactly am I going to respond. Yeah. So he almost never speaks English in public as a matter of course. You would have thought that Kim Jong-un would do the same, but no, Kim Jong-un has spoken in English, and what he has said is a damn sight better than what Trump normally says. He says, the Keep North Korea Forever Great initiative tells the world we are great. My people loves me. And I will keep North Korea country great forever. As long as I, supreme leader, and be until I die, this country be great. So great. And continue will it to be great. Because my kids will rise into me feet steps and continue make these country greatest in the world. My rockets are biggest. They are greatest in the world. It's like Trump, isn't it?
It's exactly like Trump, I mean, like, it's funny, like, laugh all you like, but seriously, this guy is one of the world's worst people. Simple as that.
Yeah, and one of the world's worst countries. Wrong, Dave.
Yeah, right.
Let's
keep
things in context.
96-year-old. Yeah. What's his name? Sir Richard something. Oh, it's not his sir. No,
I'm stuck on Rick Small. this is one of those ones where you finally discover that someone has done what we have all wanted to do, and as always happens when somebody does the right thing, they get punished for it.
Yeah,
a pensioner has been arrested in Japan for he's Japanese. He lives in Japan. A pensioner has been arrested for calling customer service 24,000 times.
Why?
Because he was hacked off because he didn't get good customer service. The man in question is Akitoshi.
But you just said when somebody does the right thing.
That's the right thing. Have you ever dealt with a large telecoms conglomerate, Dave?
Well, no, because I can never get them on the phone.
Exactly.
My frustration is always, I don't care if Whitney Houston will always love me. I just want to talk to somebody.
Akitoshi Okamoto called 400 times in 1 week alone to the customer service number of the telephone company KDDI. The company had enough and contacted the police. According to Japanese media, this followed tens of thousands of phone calls over 2 years because, in his view, the telephone company had violated the terms of his contract. He apparently vented his anger and repeatedly insulted employees, and he demanded that KDDI employees come to his house and apologise for
the
breach of
contract. Hold on, did they violate the terms of his contract?
Who knows?
That's very important.
We'd never get to the bottom of it. They wouldn't deal with him, obviously.
And he got jail time for that.
Yeah, well, he got arrested. I don't know if they're going to jail him. He's 71 years of age. But
okay.
Life is too short.
On that note, Anton, thank you very much indeed for dropping into us on the programme today.
It has been a pleasure and an honour, Dave. Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.